open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Have you ever read that chapter before? A lot of people, when they go to read the Bible, the first thing they read, they start reading at the beginning in the book of Genesis. I always tell people to start in the fourth book of the New Testament, the book of John. Because what we need to do is we need to get to know who God is personally, and we need to get to know why he came here and how he sees us and how we need to see ourselves. But in the book of Genesis, he's talking about how things began, and what I want to talk to you about is for you to have peace with God. Do you know how to have peace? How does one have peace with God? Yes, ma'am. Read the Bible. Good thought. Yes, ma'am. And believe. That's good. What do we need to believe? See, there's the big thing. What do we need to believe? Maybe you were just adding to what she was saying. Read the Bible and believe. Because some people read the Bible, but they don't believe. You know? But what were you meaning by believe? Say that a little louder. Believe that the Lord will always be there for you. That is so cool. That's exactly right. All right. That's good. That's really good. How does one have peace with God? I've got two answers. Yes, sir? There you go. Quote scripture again on me. I see how you are. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Very good. Okay. What else? How does one have peace with God? Good answers. What else? Faith. What else? There you go. Ask forgiveness. Good. What else? How do you have peace with God? Love one another. Man, I wonder what this world would be like if we all just like did this. Just like lived these things we're talking about. I wonder if we'd have peace with God. Would we have peace with God? Okay. So then I'm going to go on and say it this way. How do we have peace with ourselves? Very good. You see, to have peace with yourself, you really need to have peace with God. So what stops us from having... Let me read it. Why don't we have peace with God? Sin? Okay. Good blanket answer. Boom. That just covers it. Okay? Sin. Okay? Ourself gets in the way. What gets in the way about ourself? What gets in the way? Sin. We'll come back to that blanket answer again. Flesh. What? We're all selfish. Shame on us. That's it. Okay? Why don't we have peace with God? You know, what are you doing? Like reading my notes or something? What have you been doing? Reading this book? Good for you. Good. Yes, sir. Let me give you a couple of ideas why I think we don't have peace with God. Everything y'all said is good. Everything you said so far that I've heard is right. Now, there might have been somebody saying something I didn't hear. Yes, sir? Go ahead. He said we bring all that we think we know or have learned, and then we try to incorporate God into that. Does that sound right? Does that sound like what we do? It's supposed to be the other way around, isn't it, right? In the beginning, God, not in the beginning, us. Did you ever notice that? In the beginning, God. So if we start with God and then work from there. But to work from there, we got to start at ground zero. Unfortunately, we come in when we start to deal with God. Like, let's say we come here today at church for the first time or for another, maybe it's your second time or your 10th time or 100th time. But you've already got things you think, already things that you know. And we bring that and we take whatever is said and we filter it through what we think we already know. Well, what we already know, is anybody in here perfect? I'd just like to see that hand, just so I know who to pray for. Okay? I want to make sure I can pray for you if you think you're perfect. Okay? I haven't arrived. I like that little saying I heard. It's actually, I think God gave it to me. I made it up. It's called the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival. You know, I'm still walking, learning to walk with God. I haven't arrived. I'm still learning. Okay? And that's something I was thinking about during the music that was going on. Everybody here, this is a training center to teach us not just to be ministers, but first, how to walk with God. How to have a real relationship with God. See, when I was growing up, I went to church a whole lot of my life when I was growing up. I told you that by the time I was 20 years old, 6 different denominations had baptized me. But nobody had told me how to walk with God. Nobody told me how to know God. Nobody showed me or helped me to get peace with God. They just, you all come in, you sit there, you're supposed to be quiet. If you move, you know your mom or dad's going to hit you. You know, my mom would hit me, you know, or pinch me. And then when they pass the offering plate, you're not supposed to take stuff out or they hit you again. So they give me a dime or a dollar. And I just act like I put something in and stuff the dollar in my pocket. I'm just telling you, you know. I didn't always put it in, you know. Because I didn't know God. I mean, why are they passing this plate around, you know? It's like there's no food in it. What's this about, you know? I didn't understand. I didn't know God from anything. This was completely foreign to me. And they didn't teach me about God. The only thing that basically my folks taught me about God was a prayer. And that is, they taught me 2 prayers. When you go to eat, maybe you were taught this when you were a kid. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for the daily bread. Amen. You ever heard that? You ever prayed that? It was so amazing. Here, I didn't know God at all. I wasn't taught about God. I go to church and I listen to what they said, but it was like going to school. You know, you just learn a bunch of stuff. Okay. But there was no reality of God. I remember when I was in the 6th grade, there was a young man in that class. Can't think of his name right now. It's not coming to me. But he, I don't know if his dad or somebody he knew, an uncle or somebody, they were a communist. And so he was listening to them about communist beliefs and whatever. So he challenged the teacher. He kept challenging the teacher. She was a good Christian woman. And she would try to teach us in 6th grade. I'm sorry, maybe it was 5th grade, whatever grade it was. Anyway, he challenged the idea, is there God? So I went home, and every night, the one who prayed the prayer was the next one on the list. Like one night, Casey would say it, and the next night I would say it, next night my mom would say it, next night my dad would say it. You know, I mean, we just go around the circle like that. So it was my night. My dad said, Harvey, ask the prayer. And I said, to who? And he almost beat me to death. Because I wouldn't pray, all I asked him was, to who? I don't know him. Who are we talking to? I remember my mother-in-law and a friend of hers, they went down to vacation down in Florida, and they were staying with some friends. And so they would pray for their food. Well, one night, or one meal, they went to pray, and there was a little girl there and the parents. And the mom started to do something. The little girl said to her mommy, wait a minute, they want to talk to their plates. She didn't understand what prayer was either. She'd never seen it. Nobody did it in her house. She wondered why these people talked to their plates before they ate. How do you have peace with God? What stops you from having peace with God? I'm going to give you a few ideas, okay? Just something to think about. Maybe it's because we're afraid of God. Because we think of God like our dad. I remember I used to think of God or like our parents or our grandfather or somebody. We relate God to whoever's been the authority in our life. Are you with me? You following what I'm saying? My whole goal here is to help you have peace with God and to know God. I'm pretending that each one of us are good friends. And I want to help you to know God, to have peace with God, to walk with God, and how to live God in your everyday life. Let me give you some ideas why we don't have peace with God. One thing is because we don't have peace with ourselves. We don't have peace with ourselves because we're doing stuff we weren't created to do. Do you know God didn't put a steering wheel on your belly button? He didn't design you to steer your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be the one who controls your life, rules your life. But what we do is we all are independent. In America, we think that's a good thing. We think that's good when we watch the movies. This guy, he's a loner. He's out there. He's charging hell with a squirt gun. He's defying the law. He's our hero. He's doing all this stuff. And he's independent. He's independent of the law. He's independent of society. He's independent of rules. And we think that's good. It's not good. It's not good to be independent. See, we need one another. I need you. You need me. I need you in my life. I need you, Ken, in my life. I love it that there are people here. When we come here, one of the reasons that I want a hug is because I need a hug. But another thing is I've got God inside of me and I got to give a hug. Because if I don't, I'm going to go hug a tree or something. You know, so I got to find somebody to hug. You know what I'm saying, Wayne? Okay? Got to hug. And you know what? People need to be touched. When I go to like missions and go to preach to people in missions, or I go to deal with people that are on the streets, God will say to me often, I'm driving down the road, I see this homeless guy laying there in the gutter, whatever he's doing, and God draws my attention to him, and I say, what do you want, God? I feel like there's something you want to do here. He says, Herb, would you loan me your body? I said, sure, what do you want to do? He says, pull over. See that guy? I go, sure, pull over. I pull over. He says, go give him a hug. So I walk up to him. Now, can you imagine this guy's laying in the gutter or whatever, you know? And I walk up to him, and I've done this a number of times, and I say, Father says he'd like to give you a hug. Now, what would you think if some stranger walked up to you and said, Father says he wants to give you a hug? What would you do? Well, I get that same look from them that y'all are like thinking in your mind, you know? And they're like, what? And I say, can I give you a hug? And you know what's amazing? They always say yes. You know why? Because we need to be touched. We need to be touched. Who touches the elderly? Who gives them a hug? Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? They need it, don't they? Children need it, singles need it, men need it, boys need it, everybody needs a hug. So when you come here, one thing you know you're going to get, it's a hug. Maybe we ought to name that the Hug Church, you know. But it's because I want you to know what that young lady said earlier, one of them. And that's that God is there for us. You see, God loves us 100% right now. Not when you straighten up, not when you do better, not when you keep all the rules to please Pastor Harvey, okay? God loves you right now 100% for who you are. Do you understand? He loves you. He believes in you. He reaches out to you. How many people do you love, God? This many? And they did the same thing to him that happens to us. They killed him, and people would kill us if they could, but people hurt us all the time. That's why you got to learn to go to Jesus and let him hug you and hold you and kiss you and pet your hair. And he's never in a hurry. He won't push you away. He won't say, okay, that's enough now. Go do some work. He doesn't do that. You can hang out with him. God brought me one time into a vision. We were in church, and church was going on. They did church without me, because here's what happened, Don. We're in church, right? We're worshiping. Next thing I knew, God takes me into this vision, and he shows me would y'all like to get a hug from God? Like right now? I just felt like he said he wants me to take you into the vision. So would you close your eyes? Some of you are already doing that. Maybe you need some sleep. Okay, that's okay. It's okay. Close your eyes. Let's go up on the lap of God, okay? God gave me a vision, and so I'm going to just try to speak it to you. I want you to see God. He looks kind of like Santa Claus without a suit. He's wearing, now for me, he was wearing bib overalls and a flannel shirt. He has a full beard, but it's not real long, but it's full and it's white. He's got a full head of hair. It's not letting loose like mine. And he's got these fat, rosy cheeks. And when you look in his eyes, you're going to see this gleam in his eyes that just won't quit, like he's about to bust with laughter or joy or peace. But then what you realize is the reason he's got that gleam in his eye, because now the next picture we see is you as a little child, you as a little boy, a little girl, standing before him. And you are the delight of his heart, and you're the desire of his soul. And so what he does is he puts his hands out to you, which means come. He puts his hands out to you like he wants you to come to him. And then we look at you. There you are. Now, you got to go back to when you liked yourself. So maybe you're going to see yourself standing in front of him as a two-year-old or a two-and-a-half-year-old or a one-year-old. I want you to go back in your mind to pictures of yourself when you liked yourself. Do you remember? Do you remember when you liked yourself? Can you see it? So Father puts his hands out to you, little one, and then you lift your little arms. I lifted my chubby little arms up to him, and Father reached over and picks you up and draws you unto himself. And as you're coming toward him, he kind of tickles you enough just to be playful, not enough to be aggravating. And then he turns around and sets you on his lap. Now you're sitting on the lap of God, the Father. And he puts his arms around you, and he hugs you, and he's loving on you, and just focusing and delighting in you. Can you see that? And you're just feeling so much love and acceptance. And you lean back into his breast because you just want more. And as you're leaning back, you begin to feel his beard on the back of your head and his breath on the back of your head there. And he becomes so real, just hanging out, leaning on the lap of God the Father. Now I want you to know, he wants you to live in that place. To live. He created you for himself. He created you because he delights in you. He has a plan for you. He wants you to be whole and healed. He realizes all the problems in this world. He wants to kiss you. He wants to be there for you. So whenever you have a need, you can just run back to him and lean on his lap. And you can cry out your pain. Cry out your needs. Tell him all what somebody said or did. And he just understands. He's listening. He's holding you. He's kissing you. He's holding you so close. This young lady said it. He is there for you. I would rather say he is here for you. He's right here. Look at me a second. God took me into that vision, and I'm laying on the floor, and that became so real to me. And I'm laying on the floor, and I'm experiencing this love of God. And my dad, I love my dad. My dad is a leap year baby, so I think this February he'll be 81, okay? 81 years young. And my dad grew up and had a hard life and grew up during the Depression, or born back during the Depression, and kind of had a hard life. And his folks weren't getting along so good, and they had their own problems, and they didn't really know God or how to walk with God. So they didn't introduce God into my dad's life more than just taking him into a building that they called a church and making him go through a formal stand, sit, kneel, sing, which is basically why he brought me up that way, okay? And my dad had a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. I knew my mom and dad loved me, but it was more like, kind of like, we love you, and if we ever change our mind, we'll let you know, okay? It wasn't like the lovey-dovey kind of holding all the time, hugging all the time. I mean, my mom would hug you. You go to sit on her lap, or my dad, and they go to hug you, and then you got to hug me, pretend you love me. I know. I know it's a stretch. I know. But I'll get off after you participate. Okay? So they'd be hugging me, and then they go, okay, that's enough now. Go do the dishes. Go, you know, clean your room. Go. It was like, you got enough now. Go. Well, if I had enough, I'd get off. You understand? One of the things that I love about God is he never tells me, you've had enough. Get down. You get it? I'm telling you. I need him. I don't know about you, but I need him. Okay? That's the God I'm wanting you to know. My God. Not whatever other God that's out there that people talk about, because he's not, doesn't seem to be the same God. I know. But they manufacture all these different ideas of what God is like. That's why we started with Genesis, and I wanted to try to give you an idea of what God is like. Why do we not have peace with God? We're afraid of him because we think he's going to be like the authorities that have been in our life. He's going to be mean. He's going to be hard. He's going to be cruel. He's going to be demanding. He's not like that. But we think he's going to be like that because that's been our representative of God, whoever was the authority in our life. A husband, a boss, maybe a preacher. And we think God's going to be like them. So we're afraid of him. But one of the reasons we're afraid of him is because we don't know him nor understand him. That's why it's real big here for us to help you to get to know God personally. If you ever spend any amount of time with me, you're going to hear these words come out of my mouth. So tell me about when you met Jesus. It's got to be the best day of your life. Or you may hear me say it this way. If you were to die today and stand before God, and he was to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? You see, over in John chapter 17 and verse 3, God gives a definition for the word eternal life. Listen to the verse. And this is life eternal. Sound like a definition coming up? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is to know God. Now, everybody's going to participate. We're going to do something together as a group, okay? You know? How's it go? Elbows, knees and toes, all that stuff, you know? Then I'd have to bend, right? I don't want to have to do the bend and stuff. Okay, so let's do it this way. You ready? Point at your head. Come on, everybody in here. Point at your head. No, not don't show me the points on your head. Point at your head. I'm only messing with you, guy. Here we go. Point at your head. You know about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and George W. Bush. Now point at your heart. Have you ever met them personally? Point at your head. You know about Jesus Christ. Point at your heart. Have you ever met him personally? Why don't we know him or understand him? Because representatives of God have not always represented him well. Do you understand what I'm saying? People that say that they're followers of God don't always act like God. Now, do you know what a church is? I'm going to give you my definition. I give you a Bible definition. It's a assembly of called out believers meeting together to fulfill the Great Commission. That's a Bible definition, okay? But, do you know what my definition of church is? I believe God gave it to me a long time ago. A church is a hospital for sinners. A church is a hospital for sinners. Now, when you go to the hospital, do you expect the other person laying in the bed next to you to help you? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. No. When you go to church, we're all sinners. Maybe we need the physician. You have an idea who the doctor is around here? We just keep pointing you to Jesus. Now, why am I up front? I don't know. One of y'all must not have stood up when he called, you know? And you pushed me up and said, I don't know. Maybe God was desperate. I was the last one in line. I don't know. But God works through imperfect people. Hear me. God works through imperfect people to reach imperfect people with a perfect Christ. What we need to do, tell me if this would help us. Tell me if this would help others. What we need to do is be a kingdom of humility. Not a kingdom of pride. That's out there. Kingdom of pride. I. They got an eye problem. Okay? What we need to do is be a kingdom of humility and admit, you know, when people say, Harvey, you know, you hurt my feelings, and then say, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Wayne, but I'm a good example of a sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Will you forgive me? You understand? Humble yourself. Admit when somebody says you did something wrong. Don't argue, justify. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, you may not have meant it, but that's what they felt. And if you're honest, a lot of times that's what you felt. That's why they felt it. You may have done the right thing, said the right words, put the smile on your face, but it was fake. Somebody tell me they know what I mean. Now, do any of us need that? Do any of us like that? Then let's quit doing that. Let's quit practicing that. That's all fake. We don't need fake. Let's get real. That means we need to admit the truth. God's a God of truth. Why is it we don't have peace with God? Do you want peace with God? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want peace with yourself? Yeah. Do you know why people drink? Do you know? Because they can't handle their own problems. Because they're trying to escape. Because it makes you feel good, right? And then after you wake up, why do you feel like you were hit by a truck or drug through the ugly forest and hit every tree on the way, you know, through the forest? I mean, you know, and then it took away your money. And then you found that you said and did things that you wouldn't do in your right mind. Do you know why people do drugs and drinking? Because I was a drug dealer when I met Christ. Do you know how I got into drugs? For over a year, people kept trying to get me to smoke dope. And I kept saying to them, I don't want to be a dope. Smoke dope, be a dope. I don't want to become that. I don't want to smoke dope. But then my dad, one day, he pulled my brother and I aside. I'm just telling you real life, because you live real life, don't you? My dad pulled me aside with my brother. I was going in the ninth grade, so I was in the eighth grade, or you know, that summer. And he said, son, now understand, I didn't even know my dad till I was in the third grade. I never even knew him up until then. I mean, he stayed around long enough for me to be born, and then my brother to be born 20 months later, which is about 2 years later, and then he divorced my mom. So I didn't know him. I don't remember him. But in the third grade, I recognized him from pictures, because he never even came around, and opened the door, and there's my dad standing there. I could take you right to the house right today, 2006, Jackson Bluff, Tallahassee, Florida, right across from, it used to be, whatever it is. Anyway, there's some kind of school over there now. I don't remember what it was. And my dad, and I recognized him from pictures. I mean, that shouldn't be a way a third grader should know his dad, by pictures. And anyway, he married my mom. Well, they didn't get along so good. And now I'm in the eighth grade 5 years later, and he pulls my brother and I aside and says, I'm going to divorce your mom. Now, that was devastating for me. I don't know about you, but I hate the D word. And a lot of you have been through it, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And I've only been through it because my folks went through it twice with each other, let alone other people. Okay? I don't like that word at all. I'm going to do everything I can to ever help keep you from going through that. And if you've gone through that, I'm going to do everything I can to help you get the healing and get the right thinking and forgiveness so that you could have peace with God. Sound good? That's what this is about. This is a healing station of Jesus. It's for you to come and get healed, get believed in, get loved on, get truths that will help you through life. But you get to pick and choose. You know, if you think it's a smorgasbord and you pick and choose, that's okay. Maybe you're not eating all the good food you ought to eat. You're just eating the junk stuff. You know, it tastes good. Well, the food that's good for you, the green stuff, it's good for you too. And you'll develop a taste for it if you'll eat it. So everything we serve here isn't always going to taste good, but it's going to be good for you. It's going to make you strong, and it's going to make you complete or whole. Do you understand what I'm saying? So my dad says, I'm going to divorce your mom. And you can't, and she had just got sick and was in the hospital. And he said, you can't tell your mom. And I started crying. And I said, Dad, I don't want you to divorce my mom. And I'm begging him not to do it. And he said, we have to do it. And I walked out of that room and walked out down the street. And I start walking down the street, and some friends of mine pulled up in a car. And I got in the car with them because they were friends of mine from school. And I start talking to them, telling them, I'm crying. I'm brokenhearted. Here I'm talking to my dad, and I can't get anywhere because he sounds like a broken record. We have to, you know. And I mean, he's trying to be kind about it, but it was devastating. I mean, devastating. And as I rode around in the car with these guys, they're smoking dope. And they kept handing it to me because they'd pass it around the car. And I say, nope, I don't want any of that. They'd already been trying to get me to do this for over a year. Nope, I don't want anything to do with that. But as I rode around with them and I breathed this stuff in, it calmed me down. Now, I don't know if you know me very well, but I'm not like the most calm person you ever meet in your life. I'm kind of like a lot of people compare me to the Energizer Bunny, you know. Lady at the bank the other day, she said, you are like an Energizer Bunny. You just go all the time, you know. And I said, see, I can't even imagine you resting. I said, I'm resting right now. I'm just, this is my body, but inside I'm at peace. I got rest. I said, I live in rest. I said, but my body is going, because I just get a lot of stuff done. So when I breathe this stuff in the car, It calmed me down. And so finally I said, let me try that. It came by one time and I said, let me try it. And when I smoked that reefer, it made me forget my problems, forget about my mom and dad. You see, you think it helps you? All it does is it messes with you because it makes you forget stuff. Stuff that's important. So I do that. Oh, I'm feeling good. Whoa, aren't the lights green? And all the stupid stuff we say. And then the next morning I wake up, real life. That's why people go back to the drinking and the drugs and all this stuff. Because now they got real life to deal with. And instead of having character and saying, hey, I got to face this and I got to deal with this. But see, they don't know the answers of how to deal with it. That this is an answer station. I don't know all the answers, but I've got the book that does. And I've got the one living inside of me that does. And it's to help give you answers so when you have a real life situation at the point of death, then you come to us and then we help you with that and we're there with you as much as God leads and directs and we're going to help you through life. Do you understand? So the next morning I wake up and here's my mom and dad. I walk down, you know, stairs to eat breakfast and I start crying because I don't even know if my mom was there, you know, because she was in the hospital. I'm not sure she was even home yet. But when I woke up in the morning, I realized they were going to get a divorce and all of a sudden it just did me again. So I went to school and I said to the guys, hey, I said, I'm going to do that again. Forget my problems. And they said, well, you got to buy it this time. I said, how much is it? And when they told me, I said, you must be high. That's expensive. And so that day I bought some and I became a drug dealer and started selling smaller amounts and doing all that. But it's because my folks didn't teach me how to handle life. We need to teach our kids how to handle life. Real life. Who are you associating with? Who are you hanging out with? Because it's going to affect your life. Their choices are going to affect your life. Their attitudes are going to affect your life. What they believe is going to affect your life. Why don't we have peace with God? Number one, we're afraid of Him. Number two, we don't know God nor understand Him. You see, if you knew God, you would understand that that lady said it. He is there for you. He is there for you. He cares about you. Have you ever read in Hebrews 13:5 where He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always here. Did you ever read in Luke 15 where the prodigal son, the selfish son, he goes off. He says, Dad, give me what's mine. I didn't give him what's his. I wasn't as good a dad as that dude. I'd have taken him out back, given him what was his, you know. But he said, give me what's mine. And his dad gave him his inheritance. And that boy went off and did like many of us have done and squandered his whole life away. And now he's living in the pig pen looking at what the pigs are eating and thinking it looked good because he didn't have anything. You ever been in that place? I don't like being in that place. I'm going to tell you what. What's neat is that boy thought, you know, these pigs have enough to eat. He said, you know where I used to be? Because sometimes we have to hit bottom before we start appreciating where we were. Because sometimes when we're where we are, we don't appreciate it. We take it for granted. You know, one of the things that is really big you ought to learn to practice in your life? You ready? Just a little key. You ready? Be thankful. Thank you for the parents I have. Thank you that I have clothes. Thank you I get to live in America. I mean, America is starting to go down the tubes, but it's still the best country in the world. We can ever get... Never mind. I better not say that. Anyway. Dude, I'm talking... Okay, where's that duct tape? Okay. Be thankful for what you have. There was a guy, and he said, How am I supposed to be thankful, preacher? I don't even have shoes. I said, see that guy over there? He doesn't even have legs. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the people in your life. Be thankful. God blesses thankfulness. You know what God doesn't bless? Complaining. Complaining doesn't do any good unless you're complaining to God. Pour it all out to God. He cares. You hear me? Why don't we have peace with God? We're afraid of Him. We don't know God nor understand Him. Because we don't have peace with ourselves. We don't know or understand His ways, which are perfect and therefore peaceful. So we don't, because we don't know His ways, we don't practice His ways. But we try to come up, somebody said this earlier, we try to come up with our own ways to make ourselves feel good or feel peace. We try to come up with our own ways. A smart mouth little thing that I've said is, so how's that working for you? Your way. So how is that working for you? I'm going to give you a thought. I dare you to write it down. I dare you to memorize this. I dare you to meditate on this. I dare you to get this in your life. I dare you to embrace this thought. God is eternally right. I, or you, am eternally wrong. I'm never right. Every day, somebody on the phone, one of my customers or somebody tells me, you're right. And I said, nope. I just happen to be in agreement with truth this time. I'm never right. God is eternally right. I am eternally wrong, except only in those places where God says that I'm in agreement with Him, not where I think I'm in agreement with Him. When I go to help somebody or talk to somebody or somebody comes to me with problems and I go to talk to them, and they say, whatever I say, they go, but I know, but I think, but I feel, can I help them? I can't hear you. Can I help them? Can you help them? How about God? You think God could help them even when they're doing that? They got this big wall, and they're telling God, I already got it figured out. Well, what God does, He'll say, I'll just wait until you get over that. He said, you run your course, and when you fall down, I'll be waiting here to pick you up. But until then, you're full of pride, you're full of self-righteousness, you're full of know-it-all. Whenever you hear yourself say, I already know, you stop the flow of God, you stop the flow of truth, you stop the flow of life, you stop the flow of help into your life. I already know. Needs to be three words we need to kick out of our vocabulary. I already know. Because if you already know, why isn't it working? Help me. So let's start over. Remember, we're going to live in the kingdom of humility. Kingdom of humility. We don't want to live in the kingdom of pride. Right? Isn't this cool stuff? We don't know or understand His ways. Can I challenge you to do something? This is a new year. Can I challenge you to just help give you a new life? Pick up this book and start reading it every day. Before you put any food in your mouth, put the Word in your heart. Guess what? You'll develop a habit real quick of reading the Bible. 1977, that's what I told God. I said, before I put any food in my mouth, I'm going to put your word in my heart. Because for a couple of months now, I keep saying I'm going to read the Bible, and then I don't do it. And then every time I come back to church, that Brother Harvey, well, for me, it was somebody else. That Brother Harvey's like, open your Bible again. Oh, man, that's what I haven't done. I meant to read that Bible. Hell, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. I had a good intention. That doesn't do you any good at all. What are you doing? Not what are you telling me you want to do. What are you doing? You got me? This is to help you. Every day, before I put any food in my mouth, I'm going to put this word in my heart. Is that in the Bible, Brother Harvey? Boy, I'm glad you asked. Write down Job 23:12. That's where I got it. He says, I have made important the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And then in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by food, but by every word. How does man live? Jesus said, you really want to live? You've got to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to read that book. And when you start reading the book, you're going to get to know his ways. And when you know his ways, and you start doing his ways, you're going to get his results. And God's way is perfect. Turn over to Psalm 18, verse 30, please. Psalm 18, verse 30. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you a couple of verses. Why God created us. If you want to write these down. Isaiah 43, verses 7 and verse 21. It says, even everyone that is called by my name. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you're called by his name. Okay? For I have, why did God create us? I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. He made you like you are. I have made him. Now, verse 21 in that same chapter, Isaiah 43. This people have I formed for myself. God made you for himself. They shall show forth my praise. See, I can't quit talking about him. When I met him, July 1st, 1976, the next morning, I just met God. I was a door-to-door salesman, and I went door-to-door, and I said, I'm a door-to-door salesman, and I don't even want to sell nothing today. I just want to tell you, last night, I met God. Do you know God? I go to church. I ain't talking about church. Do you know God? Do you know God? I'm a Sunday school teacher. Who cares? Do you know God? Do you know God? I'm a deacon. I thought they said they were a demon. I told them God could forgive them of it. I didn't even know what a deacon was. What in the daylight is that? Do you know God? I just met God. And they called the police on me. And the police pulled up next to me. Come here, boy. Isn't that exciting when they do that? And I walked up to him and I said, yes, sir. And he says, what are you doing? So I said, do you know God? So I told him about what happened to me the night before. You know what he said? It sounds like you met God. Sounds like you got saved. I said, I think that's what they called it. All I know is I met God. I said, how come I'm 20 years old, six different churches baptizing me, go to church, stand, sit, kneel, sing, listen, repeat of the priest, boy, I won't kneel, bitch, all those things, 20 years, and nobody got me to God! All I want to do, you know what all I want to do? I want to get you to God! Whatever you come to me about, I'm just going to get you to God. Right? Somebody, I'm going to bust here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. You know why God gave me a mouth? Because if he didn't, I'd bust with what's inside. That's a good place to vent. He lets me preach all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, and to make all men see, all people see, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator. All things were made by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you need verses on that, I'll give you about 30 of them. Okay? Everything we teach here, I want to show it to you in the Scripture, because I want you to base what you believe and what you live by the Scripture. Now, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I just want to share this with you about creation, because we're in Genesis and whatever. Just listen to this. For by Him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Do you know that President Obama could not be in the White House without God? Now, I don't like that he's in the White House. It's a good thing I'm not God. Things would not be so peaceful if I was God, because I would kind of mess up the apple cart, okay? But God said, America, what you need is you need Obama in the White House to mess you up, to shake you up, to make you realize what's going on so that you will start taking your country back. Do you understand? He does what's best for us in the long run. We need to pray for that man, President Obama. We need to pray for all the people that are in authority. We need to pray for them. They affect our lives bigger than you realize. We need to not criticize, condemn, complain, call them names, put stuff on Facebook, all that junk. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, pray for those that are in authority, that you may have a peaceable life. God puts people in authority. You also want to find where else that is in the Bible? Psalm 75, 6 and 7. It says, promotion. I want a promotion. The Bible says, promotion cometh not from the east, the west, the south. But God is judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I got that straight a long time ago, and I memorized those scriptures for that reason. Because Harvey was called to be a leader of leaders. And so Harvey always thought he should be in charge. So I always tried to straighten my leaders out. You ever tried to straighten me out? How'd that work for you? What I'm saying to you is, I did. See, none of you can be a rascal more than I've been. That's one of the reasons God gave me to you. Because you've been a rascal. And he's like, Harvey's already done it. So he knows how to help you from it and through it and get out of it and quit repeating it. You got me? Now you get to choose how much you're going to get on board. Or you could just think it's smorgasbord. Well, I don't like that part. I like that part. I'm accepted all the time. I don't like the discipline part. I don't like the having to change my life part. I don't like to have to admit that I'm wrong part. Okay, then stay where you are. How much longer do you want to stay there? 5, 10 years? We could change today, or we could just keep wallowing in the same stuff. What do you want? See, I want more of Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. I don't just want to know about Him. I want to be like Him. I want His life. I want the results of His life in my life. Do you follow me? I want the same results. I want to have favor and blessing and peace. So, I'm sorry, we were in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You ready? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now, pay attention to what I'm going to say. Things are going to get a lot worse in this country than you can imagine. If you were in any other country, you'd know what I'm talking about. This is the poorest person in this country is rich in almost any other country. The majority, the overwhelming majority of any country in this world, the poorest person in this country is richer than them. Other countries don't have welfare and all that kind of stuff. They don't have a place to fall back on. Things are going to get worse. I'm telling you. You think you need God now, you're going to need Him way more as time goes on. So you need to learn how to grow up in Him right now. Okay? Yes. Yes. Not. Yes. Yes. Okay. All things were created by Him and for Him. No matter how bad things get, you need to remember something. God is in control. God is in control. Did you hear that? Can you say that? God is in control. No matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say, God is in control. And listen to this. And He is before all things. What do we put before Him? What do we put before Him, though? Sometimes we put ourselves. If you ever hear yourself saying these words, uh-oh, giving you a key. I want, I think, I feel. Then it's about you. It's not about Him. I want, I think, I feel. Then it's all about you, isn't it? If I had a marker and I could write on here a word, I put the word joy. Do you want to have joy in your life? Huh? J-O-Y. Is there any other way to spell joy? Do you know what the letters mean? Jesus first. Others second, yourself last. Now, when you try to spell joy, Y-J-O, or Yaj, you don't have joy. You put Jesus first. Look at what the verse said, verse 17. I didn't make it up. And He is before all things. That includes you. And that includes me. It's not about me. It's about Him. That's why it says, show them Jesus. It's all about Him. He is before all things. Now, I want you to, this is the whole reason I was reading this, this last little phrase. And by Him, all things consist. That word consist means to hold together. Everything is held together because of Him. The whole reason this earth stays like it is because He holds it together. The scientists are going to tell you it's all these technical words and blah, blah, blah. Well, technically, they might be right. But when it all said and done, if God said, nope, don't work that way because He's the one who invented it in the first place. Then they would just fall apart. They just drift away. Everything is about Him. Now, where did I tell you to turn? Psalm 18, verse 30. Are you there? Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. Is our way perfect? So who needs to change? We need to come in agreement with Him, right? His way is perfect. So why don't we find out what His way is on any situation? You know, three words that God gave me this week that just are jumping inside of me? God's way works. God's way works. And I could add a fourth word every time. God's way works. Does Harvey's way work every time? Does Wayne's way work every time? Does Grace's way work every time? Whose way works every time? Then why are we doing something else? God, teach me Your ways. Teach me Your ways. I want to go down and feed the homeless. Well, God, how do You want me to do it? That's in my heart. But how do You want me to do it? And so when we were talking this morning, you're going, yeah, yeah. Because you got to ask yourself, what's the whole focus of going down there? If you're just passing out food, they just think you're a good person. It didn't help them. You being a good person doesn't help them, except for that meal. What they need to know is, God loves you, and because of that, I'm here. Because God cares about you. And so I am, God's living in my body today to meet your need. Do you know one of God's names? You ever heard the names like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi? You ever heard all those? where they're in the Bible, when you read them, you'll find it. One of God's names, in 1977, God shared this with me before I went to Bible college and learned all these names of Jehovah and all these different names. And God, one day, I'm in prayer, and he says to me, Harvey, all I knew him was by Jesus. I didn't know him as Father until 1995. I didn't know him as the Holy Spirit until 1983. But in 1976, I met Jesus. And in 1977, he said to me, I want you to know me by a new name. And I said, well, what's that, Jesus? And he said this, Need, capital N, capital M, Need Meter. He said, I am bigger than any need you have. Any need you have, I can meet it. I said, I like that. Then, like the next year, 1978, I started going to Bible college, and they taught us Jehovah Jireh meant the Lord will supply or need meter. He's bigger than any need you have. But God had told me that before I ever learned it. Because God wants to supply your needs. But he has a way that he does it. There was a time when I first met God, I thought he was just going to supply my needs by me praying for him. I don't have to go to work. I'll just pray. God's going to bring them in by Holy Ghost Express or something. I don't know what I thought. And I didn't have a job, so I'm praying, God, please provide the food. And I kept having the thought, you need to go get a job. And people around me, and then I wasn't like listening to that, because I'm thinking, no, I'm a Christian. All I got to do is pray now. Okay. God, where's the food? Please bring the food in. How about paying the bills? And then, so since I wasn't listening to him talking in my mind, the thoughts, he started bringing people in my life. And they said, you need to get a job. I'm like, no, I'm praying. Now, this other friend of mine, he was into this mind thing. He thought he could just think things into happening. So one time, Sue, you know my wife, Sue, and his wife and I, the four of us, were in this truck. And we were driving. And we got stuck in the sand. So I stood over on the side and I prayed, God, please get the truck out of the sand. And he stood on the other side and said, truck, get out of the sand. You know what my wife and his wife did? They went walking down the road and found somebody and said, would you come help us get out of the sand? What I'm saying is there's a real way to live, and then there's this idealistic fantasy thing that we do that doesn't have to do with truth. This book is the manual of life. It will help you. It will tell you how to live. It will walk you through how to live. God's way is perfect. Psalm 18:30. Did we read that? Let's read it again. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield to all those that trust in Him. Chapter 19 and verse 7. You ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I just want to use that one first little phrase. The law of the Lord is perfect. God even has a law of how He does things. A rule, a form, an order. Remember when we were reading Genesis 1? God did everything in order. He didn't say, here, birds, come along, and then the next day say, oh, yeah, maybe I ought to make an earth where they can land sometimes. He made the earth first. He made the seas. Then he invented the fish. He didn't have a bunch of fish flopping on the ground and say, man, what should I do next? Maybe I ought to make some water for them to live in. See, God does everything decently and in order. God has an order of how He wants us to live. And He has an order of how He lives. That's why we need to get to read this book. How many of you have ever come to my wife or I and ask us questions? Please? The majority of you? And when you come and ask us questions, what do we normally do? What? We pray, but what else? What? Do we not use this book and take you this book and show you the answer in this book? My point is, here's the answer. So when you come to us, We don't want you thinking, oh, Pastor Harvey's so wise. No, I'm just a sign. Show them Jesus. You got it? You just need Jesus. You don't need me. You just need to learn how to get to Jesus. You got it? Man, it's so simple. I'm glad you got it. Let's see if we can hurry. Oh, yeah, I better slow down here. Okay, you ready? Okay. Psalm 25:10. Just having fun. Psalm 25:10. Are you there? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. All His paths are mercy and truth. All God's paths are mercy and truth. Have you ever wondered why people that are evil or mean or hateful or hurt other people, why does God let them live? Because God doesn't want to hurt them. God doesn't want them to get what they deserve. Mercy is when you do something and you deserve punishment, but mercy is when you don't get it. God is merciful. All the paths of God are mercy and truth. I find people that are mean, all kinds of stuff, and they're older. And I go, God, why do they live to be 90 years old? And God's like, because when they leave this earth, they're on their way to hell. And I don't want them to get what they deserve. And I've extended their life. Because I'm hoping somebody like you, Harv, will have enough deposit of God to go and bring them mercy and truth. Do you get it? Everybody needs mercy and truth. How are they going to get it? From God through us. That means we got to get a deposit from Him in us. Right, Don? To carry it out. Right, Rick? Truth. Stop and consider as you go through your life this week and as you live each day in each situation. Consider this. Stop and consider. What is the truth here? Ask God. Now, do not go. Don't, as you're going through situations. Let's say you're married and you and your mate aren't getting along too good. Okay? When they act like a jerk again, or selfish, or whatever they do, instead of thinking, how did he make me feel? What did he do? What did she do to me? Stop and think. What is the truth here? The truth is, they're hurting. And because they're hurting me. The truth is, they're lacking God. Because if they had more of God, they wouldn't be treating me like this. Now, what's going to help them in this situation? To love them, to believe in them, to pray for them, to be kind to them. Now, I know you're not going to believe this. I know you're going to think I'm lying. But many times I've been a jerk. I knew you wouldn't. I just knew you wouldn't believe it. I thought I'd tell you, even though just risk that you might believe it, but I just didn't even think you would. So, like, I'm a jerk to my wife. You know what my wife did? She was just kind to me. She made me my favorite food. She kissed me. She washed my... One day, I was a jerk, treated her bad, and she was crying to God. And she said, God, I really want him to change. He said, do you really want him to change? She said, yeah. He said, so do I. She says, you know what? And you know what she's done sometimes? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm confessing for her. You know what she's done sometimes? She used to put like black. She would drop my food on the floor and pick it up and feed it to me, without me knowing. I'm telling you, she was a brat. She'll tell you. She's put those little black peppers or bad stuff in my. And I go to eat, you know, or I'm biting and it's like crunch, crunch. It's like, it tastes like dirt. It feels like, you know, like I'm chewing sand here. I found out later it was, you know. I was a jerk one time and she's crying to God, God, he did this to me. I want him to change. And God said, do you really want him to change? Because I do too. He says, you know what I want you to do? She says, I know what I want to do. And he said, you know what I want you to do? She said, what? She said, when he comes home, I want you to wash his feet. Are you kidding? Wash his feet? Look what he did to me. And God says, I know, but I really want him to change. Would you wash his feet? When she washed my feet, it broke me. You see, when you give somebody what they deserve, not only did you not help the situation, you aggravated the situation, compounded the problem, but you hurt yourself. Because now you're more entrenched in that pain and that anger and in that bitterness and that unforgiveness. Do you know that I think the best thing you could give to anybody as a gift is forgiveness. Give them a gift of forgiveness. Can I tell you what forgiveness is? It's something that everybody needs and nobody deserves it. But you choose to give it to them as a gift. Do you know why I think it's the best gift? Does anybody remember what was said on this cross? What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If they knew what they were doing, I mean, they might in their head know what they're doing, but they don't really know what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing, would they do it? If they were standing in front of God, would they do it? I mean, I'm talking about in front of truth and light. Are you with me? Peace with God. We want to have peace with God. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God, I want to know you. I dare you to say that. God, I want to know you. God, would you please help me to get to know you this week and next week and every other week? Pick up his word. Start reading. Hang around with people who know God so you can get to know the real him. And say, instead of hanging out with somebody who's mad at God, who doesn't know him, and believing all the stupid, stinking stuff that comes out of their mouth. I'm sorry, did I say that right? Okay. Stupid, stinking stuff. Okay? Because then it just defiles our thinking. We got this? I want to have peace with God. I'm going to share this and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. If you want to read some verses, let me give you a couple of other verses to read, okay? You can go home and read them. God bless you on purpose. Okay, you ready? Genesis chapter 6 verse 18. God personally offering a covenant with us. An agreement with man. Genesis chapter 31, verse 44. John chapter 14, verses 27 and 31 talks about peace and how to have peace. John chapter 14, verse 27 and verse 31. I'm just repeating myself. Make sure everybody got it. You got it? And the last two is Colossians 3:15, and the last one is Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. These are just ones I didn't get to today. But Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you have peace, move. When inside it doesn't feel right, when you have doubt, confusion, fear, don't move. It's not God. When in doubt, don't. How hard is that? When in doubt, don't. You got it? When you have peace, then you move. He says something to me. I'm talking to him. And sometimes I'll say stuff and then I don't have peace with what I just said because it wasn't nice, or maybe it wasn't completely true, or maybe it hurt him, or maybe I said something to him, but I was talking bad about somebody else, and then I don't have peace. I need to go back and get my peace. Don't keep going on and acting like it's okay, because we're going to operate in the kingdom of humility. We don't want to operate in the kingdom of pride. Where's pride? Out there. Where's humility? And we're in here. Isn't that cool? I want to live in peace. When you lose your peace, stop. Get your peace with God. Admit, God, I was wrong. We call it keep short accounts with God. When you mess up, fess up. When you mess up, confess it quickly to God. God, I'm sorry. I just hurt Wayne. Gouged him in the eye. You know, pulled his nose. Okay. God, please forgive me. And God says, now, go ask Wayne because it's him you hurt. You see, we hurt God and we hurt the person. When I go and say, and don't go tell him, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard kids say, I'm sorry? Did they mean it?
No.
Then why did we teach them to lie? Okay. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? You see what I'm saying? And not like this. How about like this? I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, I'm not saying just because the kid said that, that makes them mean it. But it's harder for them to say that. They can throw out that I'm sorry stuff. We don't need to say I'm sorry. We need to get forgiveness. And we need to give forgiveness. Let's have a word of prayer. All right? Everybody stand up. Jesus, you are so cool. Thank you for being you and for letting us know you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me first. Thank you for all these precious people you surrounded me with, Lord. Thank you for the truths that you wrote down so we could keep going back to them because we keep forgetting them. And keep being reminded and surrounding ourselves with people that believe like the way we want to believe. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would keep each one of us safe and pure through the week. I'm asking that you would minister into the lives, the hurts, the needs of each person here. I pray you'd take truths that were said today and sow them in our hearts and in our spirits so that, Lord, we would become just like you. Think like you, act like you, smell like you, look like you, dance like you, feel like you, love like you, forgive like you. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious name. Amen.